Thank you for all of that. I was doing an email class meditation. Very exciting. I bet some of you have already gotten some email class. Is that true?
Yeah. Do you mean response?
Responses?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Maybe not to you, but to somebody. Have
yeah.
the responses come out?
Okay.
Okay. I thought an email would. Well, maybe I haven't checked my email this morning.
Well, that's good. Not checking before meditation in group, that's a very good thing. All right. Well, what should we look at this morning?
Yes.
Look at you. Sitting cross-legged in tight jeans.
I know.
That's impressive.
I know.
They're stretchy.
Enough. I'm going actually to the farmer's market after this, and I decided to get out of my pajamas for that. So.
Not for us, but for
no,
the farmer's market.
No, I like to wear pajamas. Yeah, I like to wear. I feel very accepted here in my pajamas, not so much at the farmer's market.
All
so.
Right. Well, that'll expand as
sure.
you practice more. Yeah.
Great. I feel like I need to give a little content to kind of get the support that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
On Christmas Eve, my 16-year-old came out to me as transgender and asked to shift pronouns from, well, not on that particular day, but within a couple weeks, we talked about shifting pronouns from he to she. And so I'm doing that.
Let me ask you.
Yes.
You had no clue.
Hindsight, I see things that I didn't see before,
mm-hmm.
Or that I saw and chalked up to, wow, I have a son who is...
really flexible.
Yeah, really uh-huh. flexible and really sensitive and interested in, you know, quiet, introspective. What I now look back on and think and see is that I also have had a son or a child that was depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't recognizing those signs as depression,
mm-hmm.
And that those things are closely linked,
mm-hmm.
Feeling like your gender identity and your gender expression don't match, and
not having any idea what to do with that.
You're right. And so what I found, which was the most shocking, was that she's been suffering silently with this for anywhere from 2 to 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and grappling with this.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that makes this particularly challenging is my work as a parent coach and a parent educator. So,
I see
you can see where this goes.
Yes, I can see where that goes.
Or where that takes me. And so, over the course of the last month, as we've been sort of adjusting to this new normal, I've found myself completely caught up in this spiral of shame and despair and fear. And it's not so much about my child's gender identity. It's about having this idea that I was raising a child that was going to go out in the world and literally be at the top of the privilege pile. And now changing how I perceive her future and looking at it and feeling like I don't know how to adapt or adjust to this, particularly when I read things online, I get more fearful. Even when I go to a support group for parents of trans teens, I end up feeling more fearful because I hear scary stories and I find myself getting caught up and swept away in panic, anxiety, fear, despair, and also self-loathing because I think of all people
you really should have.
Yeah. And a couple things that have happened over the last month is that I've really doubled down on my meditation and I've been able to record in the morning and record in the evening for like 3 weeks now, which I had fought against that for a long time, and now it feels like, I'm at the bottom.
That's right. You're open to that life raft.
Yes.
Right? Before it's like, well, maybe yes, maybe no, I'm probably fine.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And I want to say one last thing.
Well, you can say a lot of things.
Okay.
I was just going to simply say that I was just reading somebody's email response this morning, and they identified, this is the content that drove me to practice.
Oh.
Right? And there we are. Mm-hmm. I mean, we finally get to a place in life where we realize, no, actually, presence is not an option. Gotta choose it. Go ahead.
Yeah, the depression is really scary to me.
Like yours, not hers.
Hers.
Okay.
Is so scary to me. And then, you know, recently I've been having a lot of trouble sleeping. I've been having nightmares, and she hasn't told her dad yet. It's just me and my partner who know. Nobody else. So we're carrying this alone.
And let me ask you this, Autumn. Can you talk to her about it at all?
A little bit.
Just a little tiny bit. She can hear a little bit about how scary this is for you, or mm-hmm. how, you know, how...
Just a tiny bit?
Right, but that she needs to be a little patient as mom deals with making this all about mom.
Right.
Yeah.
And...
Not the transgender issue.
Right.
That's not the issue.
Not it's for the, me. The,
that's right. It's the fear that you feel for your child.
Yeah.
As every mother does.
Yeah.
And every father does.
Yeah. And I'm really, so in order for her to complete her transition and begin the process of presenting as female, she needs, because she's only 16, she would need approval from both parents. And she hasn't told her dad, and her dad is very steeped in male machismo culture.
Of course.
And
karma being humorous thing that it is.
Right. I just don't see, you know, she told her, we found a transgender specialist pediatrician, and I heard her say to the pediatrician when she asked, well, do you think your dad will be supportive? She said, yeah, I think so. And I remember being like, what, and of course I'm not going to say anything, but I, either dad is supportive and on board and signs consent forms, or he's not, and she has to wait 2 years. And I'm so afraid that the depression will not lift until she's able to do this.
Well, which is the future.
Right.
Which is something we don't really have to engage, although the voices in the head desperately want us to plan all of this out.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
Right.
What will unfold. And which does, I mean, yes, he may, maybe he won't, and we still don't know what any of that means.
Well, one of the deep fears that I had is that he would blame me, and when I said to him, hey, I think our son is depressed, this is what the pediatrician recommended, plant a seed that something's going on so it won't be a shock. That fear was realized, because he was like, well, what did you do? And totally, like, coming at me, like, why is this happening, and like, what did you do? And it's funny, because I can rationally step outside of that for a second and recognize that that's about him, not me. But I feel like every single
and
day.
Autumn,
yeah.
Is this the first time he's reacted like that?
No.
has he in the past possibly blamed you for something that, everything. Yeah.
But I'm teetering on the edge of being,
yes.
Like, I'm blaming myself
exactly.
So much that he
well,
can hook
again,
you back.
Well, again, now, we got to do the language thing.
Yes,
okay,
please.
So the voices in your head are blaming you.
Right.
Which they have always done.
Yes.
So they have always done that. He has always done that. Okay, there we are. Now your work is to disidentify from his stuff and disidentify from the voice in your head. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the salvation we're going for.
Yeah.
It's awful. Yeah. Not the circumstances, again. I will just tell you, not that it's apropos of anything, except it occurred to me to tell you, in my family, my uncle was the man's man. If he wasn't hunting, he was fishing. And if he wasn't hunting or fishing, he was playing or watching sports. He was a man's man. He had two sons, one gay and one bisexual. I didn't know about karma at the time, but later I had to really appreciate what a person gets to face in a lifetime if they're at all willing to face it. Okay. And I don't know if you know this, but I have two grandchildren who are biracial. So I definitely know, both of whom look black. So I definitely know the fear of sending a child out into a world that, disapproval is not even close to what they encounter. So,
and, you know, prior to this, I felt like my kid was sort of the standard by which other people measured their kid, because so good, so easy. And I remember a long, long time ago, when she was 5 years old, a teacher saying, it's not the kids that outburst all the time that concern me. It's the kids who quietly deal with everything, and you never know what they're thinking or feeling. And I remember thinking, that describes my kid. So it's the keeping all of this in, and the shame, and all the things that I know are in there. And I've, you know, and also trying to not project my own experience and be like, well, I remember I was a teenager and I had an eating disorder and I had depression, like, and just like detangling and detaching and trying to appreciate what's my role now and how do I support now, especially when the defense mechanism or the way that she's doing it is to withdraw and retreat and to put walls up and not let anyone in.
And you know, truly nothing has changed, except you're waking up. That's really all. I mean, all of that, as you described, was always going on.
Yeah.
She was suppressed. She was holding everything in. She was keeping everything. All of that is the same. You just thought that something else was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, you know, and that's kind of across the board in life. You know, people think they're really healthy, and then they get a diagnosis of terminal cancer. And the shock of actually getting what's going on is what we struggle so much with. Mm-hmm. Even more than what's going on is the, I had no idea, and suddenly I'm just jolted into a reality that I actually am not prepared to deal with.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And I feel like there's...
Well, you're having the correct feeling.
There's this intensifying of the voices in my head and an intensifying of, like, writing and meditating and doing the recording and listening and, you know... but the other side is getting stronger, too.
That's right. Well, you are in survival. The good news is that what you're attempting to bring survival to is authenticity.
Rather than to the,
what you're attempting to have survive this is authenticity, not the ego.
Right.
The ego is trying to survive this.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great danger that you're going to use this as an opportunity to be present, to choose unconditional love, right? And that is not, as you've noticed, anything ego is supportive of. So it's going to be in there trying to get you to go with it.
Right. Well, and this situation lends itself to a million different ways to do. I can see all the ways, you know, comparing to others, embarrassment around peers, my work as a parent, coach, and educator.
Which I will tell you, this is your greatest opportunity in that work. Because you're getting to face what you see other parents facing. And your job is to coach them through.
Right.
Right? And now you're getting to...
Well, coach myself through it.
Yes. Yes. Well, and get coaching through it.
Right.
Yeah. So right. Now you're looking to... to what they need. Now you need what they need. Now you're having the real experience. It's like, you know, with drug and alcohol counselors. Drug and alcohol counselors back in the day were people who had a degree in psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. Now they're drug addicts and alcoholics,
yeah.
Right? Because if you have a degree in psychology and you've never taken a drug in your life, then you're useless, right? As much as you might have a lot of good ideas.
Right.
But boy, when you've been in the trenches and you've gone through everything that it's possible to go through as a parent, You can be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So hang on, Mom. Look to life. Okay? Because, again, you're facing what is true. Right? That child does not belong to you. You're attached to that child, right? And you would probably die for that child. But that child doesn't belong to you. That child belongs to life. And she's going to have her own journey, she's on her own path. It's her process. And as we are required to do with everyone we love, we support them as we can, attempt to get out of their way, and not be more difficulty to them than they already have, and use all of that for our own awakening so that we can become increasingly present and unconditionally loving.
I feel like I can't do that for her if I can't do it for myself.
That's right. And you're in the process of doing it for you. And that's, I would just encourage you to cling to that. Okay, I'm doing the best I can do. I'm doing the best I can do. I'm doing the best I can do. When I know how to do better, I'll do better. Right now, this is the best I can do. And that's what you want for both of you. You want her to know that, and you want her to know that.
Okay.
Stick close, okay? Stick close to practice.
Okay. Jan.
I'm really happy to be here.
And I wish I'd worn my shirt, as a matter of fact. I'm so happy to be here right now.
And there's so much to that, in that this place is something we can bring anything. Mm-hmm. And the content doesn't matter. And what I was just looking at what was being talked about, the process of it, because in the Socratic email class that we're in, I thought, you know, I'm not really suffering. I don't need to. But of course, I'm going to do the class, and then you start to see everything.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, everything the voices were hoping you wouldn't do the class, because if you did, those things would be revealed.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just love practice so much, because it becomes so clear that, how we do anything is how we do everything, but that once we start a workshop or retreat, anything, email class, whatever it is, the looking intensifies.
Yes.
And we're being pointed.
Yes.
For that, to that.
Yes.
And, so for me, the suffering is thinking. Thinking is suffering.
Thinking is suffering. Suffering is thinking. They are synonyms, aren't they?
Well, that's my experience.
Yes, well, I support your experience 1,000%.
Well, I started to just say that in the response, and I thought, well, wait, we can fine-tune this. Let's pick a particular, And so I do, and I get a response. But what happens, what's been happening, and I just love this, and conditioning wants me to be overwhelmed by it, but I don't want to go there, is I'm seeing how the process of the content I put out is just, no surprise, is happening in a lot of different areas, and I'm able to see it by fine-tuning it, I get a response, and then I can just use that. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. In fact, I was, talking with somebody this morning, whose thing is cleaning house, right? Loves a clean house, hates the process of cleaning house. And so what we were talking about is how conditioned mind turns process into content,
mm-hmm.
so that we will then be open to being talked into hating the content. And therefore, we will never see the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess it's just what I want to express is tremendous gratitude for the class that's being offered, and that you're willing to do what you do to make it possible, everybody that's involved with it. And just lucky can we get? Because it's always going to be there, that claim by conditioned thinking that everything's just fine. And in one sense, it totally is, but not in the way that's being pointed to.
Yeah.
That there is no suffering.
Yeah.
That I don't get you in the, you know. It,
yeah.
It's the so, blinding. It's the
yeah.
blinding.
So somebody else was talking about how watching the news, following the news, knowing what's going on in the world, mm-hmm. and this fear that arises that, you know, this country, the whole world, our lives are just going down the tubes, and there's nothing to do except get really upset. And I don't want to be upset, so what do? Not watch the news so that I won't be upset? And my response was, you know, what's going on in this country and in this world is not appreciably different from the way it's always been. But what privileged people are able to do is not live in this country as it is or in this world as it is, right? And so we don't have that experience. And then we get to the point where we can see how that experience might be ours. And of course, ego panics and wants to make it about that, about everything that's wrong, rather than, well, in this lifetime, I might get a chance to experience this country and this world the way billions of people have experienced a human incarnation. Is that really, yes, ego says, yes, I would like to avoid that at all costs, right? Let's not look at that. Or we could look at it and say, I would like to wake up and end suffering. Not, I would like to be able to selectively find the areas of life that I'm troubled by, fix those so I'm not troubled, and then whatever else is there, maybe I'll die before I have to actually face that, and that would be okay with me. So then I do the thing about bringing in the, you know, the Buddhist or the Hindu perspective of, okay, and then some little baby somewhere is born having to deal with all the karma I didn't want to deal with, right? Because I'm gonna scoot out before I have to face any of that. And then when we think about that, we think about, well, you know, the karma that I inherited has been a tremendous opportunity, no question about it. But if I could clean up some of it so that somebody else doesn't have to clean it up, would I like to? Yeah, I would like to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, what you described of, yeah, I'm going to look at this and I'm going to,
yeah.
And but the other, but in the process, what I'm seeing so far, we just started, but in Socratic email, and I guess I've known, but I'm being reminded, is no. Because once you've seen the process,
yeah.
You can't not see it
yeah.
everywhere else.
Yeah.
And as uncomfortable as that makes me feel,
right.
it's a gift.
Yes.
It's a complete gift.
Yes. Well, and we get to watch that no.
Yes.
No. I do not want to look at that. And then we have to go, well, yeah, but I'm going to because
yeah.
I can't not because there's this thing called self-respect. And it's actually more important to me than trying to get a good deal.
I end up that way.
Michael.
Well, I think about, you know, that we wake up in spite of ourselves.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the dragging our feet and
kicking and screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, I'm just grateful for the willingness that wherever that comes from, that brings me here and
mm-hmm.
signs me up for email classes. And, you know, the conversation this morning just, you know, just broadens the perspective in just huge ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and Michael, right at that juncture, if I may, you know, what happens to us in that process is the realization that, in fact, we have always been okay.
Mm.
Lots of stuff has happened.
Yes.
Lots of stuff has happened. And in those lots of stuck places, that same process has been going, no, I don't want that. And we've gone through it, we've learned, we've changed, we've grown, right? And we're fine.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I remember you talking on the radio show once years ago about, you know, going through that kind of experience and then coming through it, you know, being happier and liking myself more, and then, you know, and then conditioning.
The next one comes up.
Conditioning puts the final word on that, which is never again.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, I'm so glad that happened. May nothing like that ever happen to me again.
So just tremendous gratitude. And you know, you talk about, you know, being in a group or a practice situation and just letting it all wash over. And I just feel like this has been a tremendous blessing over the years to let that all, what I understand, what I don't understand. And
yeah, just to keep showing up for it. Just keep trusting, showing up. Growing the faith.
Trusting. Yeah. Showing up. Mm-hmm. Stuff happens. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. I don't know. Here I am. Okay.
Right. I will. I mean, if I look back a week, I see things now that I didn't see then. Mm-hmm. If I look back 10 years, oh my gosh. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a completely different human being. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Seems to be fine. We seem to be going along.
Yes. And one thing I stumbled across, I don't know, the past month or so is... just when I notice I'm identified, just thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's just been tremendously helpful.
Because then you realize, oh, I'm not.
I'm not a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's good. We get hundreds and thousands of tips and guidance over the years, and then you know, in the moment or whatever, I'm receptive for the one that I've heard 9,000 times, and it's like, oh yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful process.
It is, isn't it?
And it's just a however it came about. It's a masterfully organized practice.
It is. You can see why people say somebody must be doing this.
Yes. And it's all when I think about. Practice and the logic of practice. It's like mathematics, and it's often struck me as, you know, because 2 + 2 is always 4, you know, regardless of the complexity of the math, or in the same way that you know, we just focus on process and these things we discover that are always true, like for example, thinking is suffering. Which, you know, I've probably heard in some variation before, and then when I see it again and in your context, it's like, oh yeah, I remember that in beginning math, and I remember it in algebra, and now I see the application again in calculus. Or, mm-hmm. I don't know if that hung together anyway.
Oh, it did, absolutely.
But there's a consistency of practice that is consistent with reality, which is why it's all so good.
And the thing is, ego is always being thrown into the deep end of the pool, right? Mm-hmm. Ego is constantly being shocked. And it can take us a while to realize that while ego is constantly being shocked, we are constantly being held.
Yes. Which is why you started with, well, we've always been okay, or it's always been fine, or I've always gotten through whatever.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So... getting to the point of realizing that it is ego that is being shocked, not me.
Yes.
Then we have a deeper sense of, well, then what am I? Okay?
Right.
If ego is what's being shocked, and I'm aware that ego is being shocked,
yes.
Where does that position me?
Yeah. Can you say that one more time? Because I was... preparing the next thing to say. Say that one more time. What you said was that ego is always the one being shocked.
Yes.
Ego is always one who doesn't know how to swim, who's being thrown into the deep end, and yet somehow I end up fine.
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Okay. Yes. And that there's with practice, there's a growing awareness that something is aware that ego is consistently being thrown into the deep end of the pool. And so it begins to dawn on us that that something that is aware of that might be us. Because
mm-hmm.
We're always there, aware, whatever is happening with ego. And that is such a shift of perspective, right?
Yeah.
From I am ego being thrown into the deep end of the pool to realizing, yeah, but I'm aware of that.
Right. So rather than believing the drama or the story, I can see that there is drama and there is story.
Yes. And the fun part of that for me is I can see that the ego drama and story that's happening here is the same as the story and drama that's happening in all these other lives, mm-hmm. like every other life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So mine, of course, is way more interesting and compelling.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
And others really could just get over it, right? just realize what's going on and that it's not that bad and that they're
what
just being
the
dramatic.
What is the matter with you?
What is the matter with you that you keep hanging on to whatever it is? And then again, we step back and realize, huh, you
it's
know,
a lot
I think
like how I
that's a lot. That, yeah, well, I think they're in the same process I'm in, which is just so helpful.
Yes.
Helpful for everybody in your life.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and the last thing I'll say is something I heard you say or write a couple months ago, which is that we think it's something other than ego that's making us unhappy.
Yes.
I was like, oh, that is good.
That is a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yes, because if we can get that, if we can get that it's ego, it's conditioned mind, that is the source of our suffering, mm-hmm. we can start focusing on it as the problem instead of him or her or them or that or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Because it, again, it's always the constant. Mm-hmm. No matter what he or she or they or them do, it's that voice in my head that's talking to me about how that's a problem.
Thank you.
That's right.
So, one of the things that I've been looking at recently is an awareness of the places where the pain has been most intense. And every time I fall into that hole, it's like it couldn't get any worse than this.
Uh-huh.
And it always has.
Uh-huh. The pain, the whole...
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There is a way in which it feels like... If I said it... If ego said this, it would be, I have a very large ego. So I have to be worked on a lot. You know? For that to be removed from me.
Mm-hmm. And that's ego's assessment.
Yeah.
Ashwini has a really large ego, says ego. And it'll take a great deal of work for her ever to be able to let go of that.
Without why is there that level of pain then? Or that level of suffering or whatever it is. So I know this word is not a very nice one or what one we don't use, but it just part of what I have noticed in each cycle of encounter, dissolution, transcendence, is what has fallen away is the desire to be perfect through it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
that,
I do know.
That is the reason the pressure has been so intense.
Yes.
Because there is no acceptance of how life is,
well,
or how this is.
Well, if I may, just to stick with you. We'll talk about somebody else, okay? So somebody in class is grieving the loss of a relationship, okay? And so it's twofold, right? There's the loss of the relationship that is painful. There's the grieving that loss, But where the suffering comes in is the judgment about how that's being done.
Yes.
Is that?
Yes, real? Exactly. That every place I've looked at, what actually gets worn away is that thing that stands outside and says, this shouldn't happen. You're not dealing with it in a way that is graceful. Mm. You're a complete mess. Mm-hmm. Why can't you hold it together mm-hmm. and get
the way the voice in your head, who is perfect, is
yes.
able to hold it together.
Yes, and that the whole identity that is being milled away in the process is simply this requirement for holding it together when things are falling apart.
Right.
And it's not just external things that might be difficult. Loss of a relationship or a loved one, but also your cherished beliefs and everything. That identity being shattered is the process I said yes to. Mm-hmm. And part of what the training has been is to say yes to it however it happens.
Yes.
Not yes to how perfectly it happens.
Yes. Yes.
And there's been such freedom using the recorder around that, because without the recorder, I don't think that I could be having all of the experience I'm having, because I would be in a conversation about not having this experience,
opposed
to being completely okay with everything that's coming up.
As someone who has been doing this practice for decades, I can promise you that is the case. Because for decades, I worked with people who were simply stuck in a conversation in their head with no ability to realize they were stuck in a conversation in their head, right? Because even if you say it out loud to somebody else, that conversation in the head just draws it right back in and makes it all the same. So yes, being able to say it, to get it out there, to hear it, to recognize it for what it is, to realize, we were just saying with Michael, that there's that person on the recorder having that experience, and I am the awareness that is aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and what I noticed that has emerged over, I would say, the last sort of, having a recorder is helpful because the patterns are, you can see the patterns, like
yes.
7 or 8 really, really dark nights of the soul. Is that in the I like myself. You know, that's what has changed in this. The self-hate that I identified with, this person is the wrong person in order not to be able to be together in this place and be graceful. I hate this person.
Mm-hmm.
Has gone to, I actually like this person.
Mm-hmm.
I love this person.
I'm not sure there's anything wrong with her.
Yes, that it doesn't matter how much she falls apart.
Yes.
It's not even relevant.
Well, and that's the, again, you know, there are a couple of places that are really difficult in awareness practice. One is getting that we're not the ego, okay? And the other is getting what awareness practice is,
mm-hmm.
right? Because ego would say, if you were really practicing, you'd never fall in a hole. You'd never experience self-hate. You'd never be identified with ego and be nasty or mean or small-minded, or rather than realizing that awareness practice is facing all of that.
That's right.
So of course it's going to come up.
Yes.
It's supposed to come up.
Mm-hmm. And I love the awareness is also aware of the level of transcendence.
Yes. Oh. Welcoming you home.
Yeah, but I love this person.
Yes.
So there are two things that happened that made me think of that. One, I stumbled in the daily recollection this morning.
No.
And I watched.
You're out.
I watched the difference of the delighted chuckle. It's all right, mm-hmm. sweet one. Keep going.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
As opposed to 4 years ago, even, the level of sensation in the body at having done that would have made it almost impossible for me to stay with it.
Yes. So right. Our adored Jen, Monk Jen, still will talk about years ago, guiding the daily recollection, stumbling, realizing she had no idea where she was, mm-hmm. right? And just sitting there in that, talk about deer in the headlights, right? Just that. And then the people in the room just picking it up and taking, right. And what an experience of Sangha that
yeah.
can be.
And that it didn't even drop in as an example till I was sitting here, right? And then the other was, I had a meltdown. And of course I had guidance around the meltdown, where what was said to me just brought it all home. That I'm really here to face what I don't want to face.
Yes.
You know, that's the process that I'm in. And if I had received that guidance 4 years ago, I'd have been completely crushed as the practitioner who couldn't see that that was the process that she was in and needed guidance,
uh-huh.
right?
Yes.
It's that false pride
yes.
of, I know how to do this.
Well, again, it's that that place of not realizing what is the practitioner and what is ego.
Right, exactly.
Because ego just slides right in. I know how to do practice. I don't need to. How could you tell me that I'm identified with ego, said ego.
Yeah.
Right? That really hurts my feelings.
Yeah, and that
said
level
ego.
Of hubris the level of hubris of the identification and the humility that comes from knowing that we don't know when we're identified. That's why we need to be slapped. In or whatever.
Yeah, that's why it feels like a slap.
The size of the board that I need
uh-huh.
to suddenly get me out of it, going,
that's not me.
That's not me.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this latest stage of getting to the abyss, to the precipice,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I can recognize it.
Sneaking.
Creeping
up
yes,
on the.
Yes.
Looking
the
over.
The refusal. It's like, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to go down there again and get beaten up, and even if transcendence is my reward, at the other side of and realizing in some way that you're pointing to, right? The awareness is aware of
yes.
the process. I know, I've been down this road so many times. It's like, I know what's going to happen.
I wonder why we even still call it an abyss. Is it really an abyss if we've
well,
been over it and out and over it and out and over it and out?
Because the territory is always something that's unknown for me. Like, I don't know what I'm going to find or how I'm going to have the experience. I just know I don't want to.
Yes. Which is a pretty good picture of ego.
Yeah.
I don't know what's coming, but I'm pretty sure I want to say no to it.
But I like, but it's what you said today that was really, really helpful. It's the ego that doesn't survive, and what I'm advocating for is the survival of authenticity.
Yes.
If that is, I'm not sure that I can stay with that awareness through the process, but that ability
okay.
has been, well, I don't have to, right? I don't have to be perfect while I go through it. That's
exactly right.
But the
because, Ashwini, just that before you go on. Because, so there I am going along the path. It's not just one thing that's going to, ego's going to throw in the path to cause me to stumble, right? It's constant. It's continuous. So every time, you know, every step of the way, ego's going to be trying to mess me up, right? So yeah, I'm not going to go through it perfectly because, you know, you watch one of these superhero movies, and it's just uncanny how they can just see all of the bad guys and take them out. Just one after the other, after the other, after the other. It doesn't matter which way they're coming from. You know, that would be great. But that's not us, right? Our process is you get flattened. And you go, oh, God, I didn't see that one. Okay? But now you have seen it. And the thing that's so fascinating about it is that the process happens the same way every time.
That's right.
So if we know, okay, got that one. Okay, got that one. Got that one. Got that one. Is there going to be another one? Betcha. And then got that one. Okay, got that one. Got that one. Got that one. Got that one. Got that one.
Well, because the armor that I go in with is the ego armor.
Yes.
And
which
so if I am
falls apart at the first
or it takes a lot of beating to get it off.
Yes,
you know?
Even though it falls apart at
right.
the first stumble.
Yeah, and so The thing that was just...
It falls apart at the first stumble. We pick it up and put it back on again. Stumble again, it falls off. Pick it back up and put it on again.
Yes.
And finally we realized, this is not good armor.
Yeah. Well, what I got to in this last round is, because I'm going into the abyss as the ego, the experience would be painful.
Yes.
Because it is me that's being destroyed, and that's a
the me.
The me that's being destroyed, and that is an essential aspect of the experience. Mm-hmm. But what comes out is authenticity.
Yes.
Right? Which
yes.
is a very,
which is
very
always
different,
fine.
Which is a very different experience.
Yes.
But it's always survived.
Yes, well,
process.
It's always fine.
It's
always not completely unaffected by the whole thing.
Yeah. And
that's the beauty of it.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's like ego, you know, flailing around and trying doing all this stuff. But our true nature isn't flailing, isn't
And more
affected.
And more of it is available.
Yes.
The more abysses I go through.
Yeah, the more you, yeah,
And
explore.
What I realize in this latest one is that the invitation to be more than just the ego is what is being offered.
Yes. Yes.
To which the ego says no.
To which the ego says no, and authenticity says, let's go.
Yeah. If I'm in touch with it.
Which you always are.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm in touch with it because I see the invitation.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Carolyn, did I see you? Am I seeing you? All right. Carolyn, and then.
What was struck by the way, how the participation in Socratic email class happened this time, with this absolute certainty that I had nothing to talk about, but
it's just nothing going on,
and the absolute certainty I wanted to participate.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, okay, so I say, I'm here, I want to participate, I want to be a part of this, and right now nothing's occurring to me, but I still want to be here, I still want to, you know, that,
yes.
that recognition that it's like the barcode, right, that I could see both at the same time. So there wasn't a denial.
Mm-hmm.
And what that opened up was, yes, I see that process in the things I'm working on that get labeled important issues to look at in practice.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the subtle denials. So my theme is denial and neglect.
Uh-huh.
Because what it has done, it's gone more subtle in the denial, more subtle in the neglect.
Mm-hmm.
So that... I saw it this morning on the way. I was getting, you know, ready to come, and there was that joy of, I get to participate. Whoa, I should go to the restroom. And the immediate, nope.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And I just thought, what? I can't go to the restroom? What? And now it was like, wow. So, and that's happened before. When I've got gone places, there's just this automatic no.
Uh-huh.
Because there is this recognition, life drops in, it would be good to go to the restroom. No.
Uh-huh.
It would be good to have a drink of water right now.
No. Yeah.
You know, it might be a good idea to stop and have a snack. No.
Uh-huh.
And so there is, what I'm seeing in this is, there is this false pride of, I'm tough.
Mm.
There is this, I can get, I don't need water, I don't need food.
Oh, if you don't have water, you really don't need the restroom.
I don't
need
to go to the restroom.
Yeah.
So that works out really nicely. It's telling me that the body doesn't get to have what it needs.
Yes, well, and in general, so there is, you know, we say that ego is no to the yes that is life. And that's such a clear way to get to see that.
Yeah.
So life just drops in, have a drink of water, and ego says no.
Yeah.
And what we can see in that is there's no reason.
No.
No. But the reason that it gives is actually not I'm tough, but you're tough.
Yeah.
See, you, Carolyn, you're tough.
Yeah.
You don't need that stuff. You don't, you need to, and it's a way to make sure that conversation goes on. So who am I looking to know who I am?
Yeah.
Well, that voice in my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just going to tell me the right thing because I want to be tough. I don't want to be some weenie that needs food and water, for God's sake.
I know. So it's just, it was just so wonderful to, I mean, it's, yes, I get myself water, but it's delayed.
Yes.
So to when that impulse comes up, my job is to.
Yes. Say yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes.
And that just, it takes it from being a little crack there of recognizing that yes, and how that yes is constantly there. Constantly. We're just, we are guided every second.
Yeah.
Right? And then the more we say yes, the more it opens. The more it, you know, if we do what we're guided to do, the opening gets bigger.
Yes. Yes. And that's when I it's like that's the experience of love.
Yes.
Someone's saying I love you.
I love you.
And
I'm
saying no.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm fine. I don't need love.
Yeah.
No.
I don't need
love.
I'm
good.
I'm tough.
Mm-hmm. I'm tough. I don't need love.
I don't need anything. So what I saw it's like. So that's how the constant low-level deprivation. You have enough to eat. You have a roof over your head. You don't go to group every. What more do you want?
Exactly. You're so greedy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
now you want love on top of that.
Yeah.
Oh.
So to be willing. To let go of that story about me,
mm-hmm.
which we talk about this all the time, it's all lies.
Mm-hmm.
It has no idea who I am.
No.
It doesn't
care.
It can't recognize
it. It just wants to do no.
Yes.
Because that's its existence.
Yes. And because it can't recognize love, it's... So in that recognition, it's not even a, it's so much bigger than any little no it can come up with.
That's right. But that's such an important point about ego. You know, it's not going for the big picture.
Yeah.
It's just one moment at a time. No.
Yeah.
No. 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 And, you know, for most people, that's consistent enough that ego has a big swath of life, right?
Yeah.
And so to realize that's what we're doing, just we're being here moment by moment, basically saying yes to life, yes to love, and that's all that's required. We'll never, as far as I could tell, we'll never get rid of that process of ego. It's always going to be waiting.
Yeah.
No? No? You fall for it now? How about now? No.
Yeah. Or sometimes it couches it as, okay, but not that way, this way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Here's a better idea.
Here's a better, yeah.
You can see why in awareness practice, better
yes,
ideas
better,
are not
yeah.
popular.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, and I, yes. And so it was just so lovely to see the practitioner sit down in front of her computer with the little blank rectangle and just start typing. Well, it looks like I don't.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
This is it.
Wow. And to be willing to show up and type until whatever was gonna.
Yeah.
Because life had what the life loves me.
Yes.
And life.
Will
spoke
help
to me.
You to see what now.
Yeah, what now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. You just described why I love to do email classes.
Yes.
And just stay there until Life tells your little fingers which key to hit.
Meredith.
Yes. This is my first time, and I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for Ashwini for making me feel comfortable and welcomed. And
well, now that you know where we are.
Now that I know where you are. And yeah, just reflecting on the experience and listening, I think that I appreciate the word awareness practice, because that's so much of what's come up for me is when I've never meditated for 30 minutes. And I thought,
very brave.
And it went by so much quicker than I thought, but I thought to her, like, I wonder if this is what it's like to be on a desert island. You know, and then it was like, that's terrible. You know, judging that thought. How can you think that? I noticed that I have resistance to the word suffering relative to my experience right now. You know, that I think suffering is for, you know, certainly people close in my life who I feel like are really suffering, and they deserve that label.
Yeah, but not you.
Know, you. But not me.
Because you're tough.
Because I'm tough, and they don't measure up. Uh-huh. There's a yardstick of suffering.
That's right.
In my ego, they don't measure up. And then I noticed I had a strong reaction when you said earlier, but you know you're doing your best.
Oh.
And I thought,
I'm not doing my best.
So I just, I think there's my head swimming with a lot of different things, but those were certainly awareness moments for me.
Mm-hmm.
And but being able to look at that with a more compassionate and wondering lens, not a, and that's the truth.
Yes. Yes.
Lens. There are other ways into that, and mm-hmm. thinking about that, and thinking about the ego is not. I was thinking, can the ego be authentic? Like, that's authentically the ego. So how is authenticity different? And that's.
Well,
something to be explored.
It's something to be explored. And just to give you our lingo, what's talked about in Buddhism is that ego is an illusion of a self that is separate from life.
Yeah.
And so can it be authentically what it is? Yes.
In that context.
And it's a lowercase authenticity.
Yeah.
It's not whole mind. It can never be whole mind.
Right.
But is a small illusion within whole mind? Absolutely.
Right.
Which is why I say, I don't know that we'll ever get rid of it. So one of the points of evidence with that is apparently the Buddha was practicing awareness on the last day of his life, and he was really old. So even the Buddha didn't say, hey,
gone.
I'm the enlightened one.
Yeah.
I don't need to pay attention any longer.
Yeah. And the idea that you can see it, like you were saying before,
mm-hmm.
If you can notice it. And it's one of,
that's right.
for me, different voices or different thoughts that come in.
But anything that you can see, you're not.
Right.
And right?
That's a mind blower.
That is a mind blower. Yeah.
So I'm swimming in an exciting way.
Good. Very good. All right. Well, know that you're welcome. Be
Thank
with us any time.
Yeah, and I'm doing the email course, so that'll be.
Oh, good.
Very
fun.
Too. Yeah.
Oh, very fun. Though, then we'll be talking.
Yes, thank
All
you.
Right. All right.
And for today.
Thank you, everybody.